Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for another time with you tonight. We come together now to worship your holy name, to praise you. We pray, O Lord, that as we sing together, your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Your blessings will come down in a mighty way upon every one of us tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise him, hallelujah, amen. Praise him, hallelujah, amen. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. In the Word of God, there is power. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In the Word of God, there is power. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. His word is yea and amen. I found it yea and amen. His word is yea. His word is yea and amen. His word is yea and amen. I will dig a little deeper. Jesus' love must be sweeter. I will dig a little deeper, deeper yet, deeper yet. Deeper yet. Deeper, deeper yet. Deeper, deeper yet. I am ready to obey thy word. I am ready to obey thy word. I am ready to obey the living word of God. I am ready to obey thy word, thy word. Thy word. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this far? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? let us know, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you walking in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in it crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls till the whole world knows, till the whole world knows, I will shout and sing of Christ my Lord, till the whole world knows, oh world knows, till the whole world knows, world knows, I will shout and sing, Christ my Lord, till the whole world knows, oh world, oh world knows, I will shout and sing of Christ my King. Oh, what knows? Oh, what knows?
Amen. The Lord will strengthen us to accomplish that task in Jesus' name. I didn't hear amen. We all welcome to the Bible study tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We in particular want to recognize and welcome those coming to study the Bible with us for the very first time tonight. So if you are in anywhere seated in the congregation, can you please stand upon your feet for recognition? You are in our midst to study the Bible with us for the first time tonight. Feel very free. You're welcome, my sister. Any other person? God bless you. If you are still seated, you can rise up for recognition and for our pastor's greeting. Our pastor, our general superintendent, wants me to welcome you specially to the Bible study tonight. And he wants me to tell you that this should not be your last time of joining us to study the Bible, but you should continue to come as the Lord continues to gather us here. Our ushers are by your side. Please receive a slip from them and complete it and return back to them before you go. Please ensure you collect one of the slips. Once again, we are welcome to the Bible study tonight. This is Deeper Life Bible Church. We have three important meetings every week as we gather before the Lord. On Mondays like this, we come together for the systematic and expository study of the Word of God. It is always an enriching time. It starts at exactly 5:50 p.m. every Monday. On Thursdays, we also have the privilege of coming together to have fellowship one with another and with the Lord. In our Thursday, in what we call the Thursday Revival and Evangelism Training Service, it comes on in all our district locations from 6 p.m. every Thursday. We want to invite as many, and in particular our visitors who have not had the privilege of being with us. On Sundays as well, we also have the privilege to come before the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It starts at exactly 7:45 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we get into the session of Search the Scripture. It is always a rewarding time as we come before the Lord to search the Scripture and get into the worship service proper. These meetings are designed to meet our spiritual needs. So we should please ensure that we come and invite others to join us. And as we do, the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. We should not forget to continue the follow-up of our converts in the just concluded outing during the June 12 evangelism effort. We should please continue to follow up the converts and help them to continue to come to the house of God so that they will know more of Christ and of his word. From the 21st to 22nd of this month, we are having our June Miracle and Revival Program, Friday 21st to Saturday 22nd of June, themed Pulling Down Strongholds. The Lord has prepared himself to pull down every stronghold that have been confronting us, and this June is going to be an end of them. I said this June we are going to see their end. Every stronghold will be pulled down in Jesus' name. As we come, the Lord will do us good in Jesus' name. Let's rise up as we have the privilege to offer to the Lord our tithes and offering. In Luke chapter 6 in verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's bring out whatever we have to offer to the Lord as our tithes and offerings, so that we have the privilege of praying over them. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for always giving us out of the abundance which you have. Out of it, we brought these to offer unto you for the work of the ministry. We are praying you will receive them from us in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The offering bags have been passed around. Please ensure you drop your offering in the bags that have been passed around. We remain standing as we sing from Gospel Hymns and Song, number 62. Go, labor on. Go, labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Go, labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises, what are men? Men die in darkness at your side, without a hope to share the tomb. Take up the torch and wave it wide, the torch that lights time's thickest gloom. Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice, for toil comes rest. For exile home, soon shalt thou hear the bridegroom's voice, the midnight peal, behold, I come.
Today we're going to continue with our Bible reading. But before we read, shall we just have a moment of prayer? Father, we're asking that you will open our eyes of understanding as we read your word today. We're asking that relevant passages that really speak to our present needs and problems, spiritually and physically and materially, you will impress upon our hearts. Be with us, enlighten us, instruct us, teach us as we read together now. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll continue with the reading now.
The Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Bet. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Dalit. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Hey. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Vav. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Zion. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from my law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Chet. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Tet. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Yod. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Kaf. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth.
You have just listened to the Bible reading, and we need to take whatever we have learned to the Lord in prayer. Will you all rise up, please? Talk to the Lord in prayer. You've seen a commandment, a warning, an example, an instruction to obey, a promise to claim. Pray for grace that you will do as you have learned in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You're welcome to the Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that what we'll hear, what we'll learn, what we'll study will be of tremendous benefit in every life in Jesus' name. Amen now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for the time we're spending in your presence. Thank you for your word, the revelation of the truth. We pray, Lord, that this truth will dig deep into every heart. Examine every heart. Search every heart out. And help us, Lord, to be drawn to Calvary, where the heart will be cleansed and washed and transformed by the power of the cross in Jesus' name. We pray we'll not be hearers only, we'll be doers of the word. And the word we hear, the word we believe, the word we obey, will do good in every life in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. We're coming to Mark chapter 4 as we come to the study tonight. And we're reading as well as learning from Mark chapter 4 verses 1 through to 9. Mark chapter 4 verses 1 through to 9. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hear, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I will hear. I will believe. I will believe. And I will do the word of God. Tonight, as we look at verses 1 to 9, which we have read together, I'm talking to you on Christ's predicted revelation through parables. Christ's predicted revelation through parables. Look at verse 1. In verse 1, and he began again to teach by the wayside. That means he's been doing it before, because he began again. What did he begin to do? To teach. To teach the word of God. Christ is the teacher come from God. And he taught essential truth for all time. Essential truth for today. Essential truth for tomorrow. Essential truth until he will come again. Look at where it says, is a teacher come from God? We're looking at John chapter 3 And I read from verse 2, John chapter 3, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Thou art a teacher come from God. And his teaching was pointed. His teaching was purposeful. His teaching was practical. His teaching was perpetual. His teaching is for all time, because it's the teacher that came from God. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. A teacher come from God who taught the truth, who emphasized the truth for all time. Matthew chapter 5, I read from verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them. The Lord Jesus Christ, at every opportunity, the Lord Jesus Christ, before a crowd, before a multitude, that's what he always did. He opened his mouth and he taught the multitude. Mark chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 34. Mark chapter 6, we're reading from verse 34. It tells us in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. A teacher come from God, he was full of matters. He was full of the word. He was full of revelation. He came from God. And the Almighty God had told him and taught him and revealed to him the truth he will make known to the people. And at every opportunity, he had no time to entertain people. He had no time to just excite people, because he had truth as he came from God, and he taught them many things. We're looking at Luke chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the teacher, come from God. And he comes to you today. And he comes to teach you something essential that will prepare you for heaven. Something essential that will bring you back to God. Something essential that will make you stand and stand firm in the way of the Lord. In Luke chapter 13, reading from verse 22. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Look at what it says. And he went through the cities and the villages teaching. He went through the cities teaching. He went through the villages teaching. He went everywhere in the land of Israel, and that's what he did, teaching, and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. He says, at this time you're receiving the teaching, and you see the way to the kingdom of God, that's the time to enter. And you strive, and you endeavor, and you do your best to make sure that while the door is open, you enter in. Because the time comes when people will try to enter in, and they will not be able. I pray you will enter in. John chapter 7, I read from verse 45. John chapter 7, verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, never man speak like this man. Never man talk like this man. There has been no man from the time of Noah to the time of Abraham, from the time of Enoch, and to the time of Moses, from the time of David to the time of the prophets. Never man taught, never man speak like this man. He brought the truth from heaven, saving truth. He brought the truth from heaven, sanctifying truth. He brought the truth from heaven, transforming truth. And when they went to go and arrest him, when they heard him, they say, you cannot arrest a man like this. This is a teacher come from heaven. And I told you, as you know by yourself, that what he taught was essential truth, what he taught was eternal truth, what he taught was truth for all times. Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading from verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What he came to teach, what he came to reveal, what he came to emphasize, what he came to reveal to the people still gets to our generation. Heaven has not passed away. The skies have not passed away. The earth has not passed away. And he said, even when heaven and earth will have passed away, my words will not pass away. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Everything he taught, everything he revealed, the truth he emphasized, is giving us that truth now. And the truth is in the Bible. And he says we'll be teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And the people of God said, amen. We're coming to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 2. Already we have learned that when he saw the great multitude, all he could do, all he intended to do, all he planned to do, all he actually did was to teach. Look at verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. In his doctrine, he taught them many things in his doctrine. When he came, he wasn't offering suggestion. When he came, he wasn't having an opinion. When he came, he wasn't having proverbs of the world. He wasn't having all the things of the world in their debate, in their philosophy, that they came together and they'll say, I think, I feel, I suggest, I opine, I give my opinion. No, he came to teach the doctrine from heaven. Mark chapter 1, I read from verse 27. Mark chapter 1, verse 27, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? He came to teach the doctrine from heaven. To them it was new. It wasn't something they had read about or heard about in the old covenant. It was something new that pertained only to the new covenant. And I was so surprised. We're looking at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, I read from verse 38. Mark chapter 12, verse 38, and he said unto them in his doctrine. It was peculiar to Christ. This is not the doctrine of Moses. This is not the doctrine of the elders. This is not the doctrine of traditionalists. This is Christ, and this is Christ's doctrine. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the market places. He warns the people. Then he tells us in verse 39, and the chief seats in the synagogues and in the uppermost rooms at the feast. Verse 40, we devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the greater damnation. And you'll see that he spoke openly, and he spoke fervently, and he spoke pointedly, and he spoke persuasively, and he told the people what they ought to hear, what they needed to hear. I'm reading from Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine. He never did any other thing. He never said any other thing. He never taught any other thing. No opinion, no idea, no suggestion. Doctrine. The doctrine that touched the lives of the people. And the doctrine that revealed to them that you have sinned. You cannot save yourself. I came from heaven so that you can be saved. He wasn't pointing them to any other personality that the Pharisees and the scribes would have done. He taught with authority, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. His word was with power. John chapter 7. I read from verse 16. John chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 16. It says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. That's it, was it. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. He said, if I wanted to change it, I couldn't change it. If I wanted to modify it, I couldn't modify it. If I wanted to kind of twist it around, I couldn't do that. I have such respect and such honor for my Father in heaven, who has given me the doctrine and has told me and has taught me what I shall say. And so he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That's what the Lord is telling us, that what Jesus Christ has laid down, the teaching he has laid down, the doctrine he has laid down, we emphasize that, we stand by that, and we do not allow ourselves to be swayed by religious people of the land, of the age, of the day. And we don't even allow other people around us to teach any other doctrine. We must abide and remain in the doctrine of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. He's saying, I besought you to still abide in your local church where you are. And don't be up and down. And don't leave the congregation. You have the ministry. You have the place. And you are set there. Abide where you are set for ministry. When I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge, mightest compel, mightest command, mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine, as no other one can save except Christ. No other doctrine can save except the doctrine of Christ. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things, the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ. All the things that Jesus came to reveal, the teacher come from heaven. Everything that he puts across to us, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That ditch of philosophy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Is anybody hearing? I said, anybody hearing? 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 2 John chapter 9, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ as not God. How? Why? Because the doctrine of Christ was not his. The Father who sent him told him what to say, what to teach, the words to emphasize. And so, if anyone will transgress and will not abide in the doctrine of Christ, then he doesn't abide in the doctrine of God. He doesn't love God. He doesn't reverence God. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't appreciate God. He doesn't honor God. And because of that, he has not God. Look at that verse now again. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ. It's not the title. It's not the position. And it is not even how people speak. It's not their diction. It's not their eloquence. It's abiding in the doctrine of Christ. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, apostle, bishop, pastor, lay reader, clergy, anyone, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You'll not be partaker of the evil deeds of people in Jesus' name. Give me a good amen. But coming back to Mark chapter 4. And as I've read from verses 1 to 9, Christ's predicted revelation through parables. There are three things we're looking at as we go through from verse 3 now, all through to verse 9. Number one, the use of parables by the Savior. The use of parables by the Savior. Before he came, the Old Testament prophets and Old Testament writers, moved by the Holy Ghost, they had predicted and prophesied that he will teach by parables. The use of parables by the Savior. Point number two, the uniqueness and power of the seed. Yeshua went forth to sow and sowed the seed. The uniqueness of that seed, the power of that seed. Point number three, his unveiling and perception of the soil. The soil on which the sower sowed. The soil on which the farmer planted. Different kinds of soil and different results that they yielded. The unveiling, the revealing, the uncovering, and the perception of the soil. Point number one, the use of parables by the Savior. Come to Mark chapter 4. And I read from verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and he sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the land. Well, it's important for you to understand that Jesus taught in every place, every situation. There wasn't a building there, just by the seaside, only a boat. And he sat in the boat. The preacher sat, and then the audience, they stood. And those who could sit on the ground, sat on the ground. All that did not matter. What mattered was the doctrine and the message that came from heaven. Verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables. And he taught them many things by parables. He taught repentance. He taught regeneration. He taught righteousness. He taught the hearing of the word and the doing of the word. And everything he taught them many things by parables. The use of parables by the Savior that had been predicted. Look at Psalm 49. It was written concerning him that when he comes, he will teach, he will preach, he will reveal the mind of the Father through parables. Look at chapter 49 of the Psalms, verse 1. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. All ye inhabitants of the world. It's not limited to Israel. It's not limited to the Jews. All the inhabitants of the world, both low and high, both rich and poor together. He came to minister to everyone. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Look at this. I will incline mine ear to a parable, and I will open the dark scene upon the heart. I will speak, and I'll open the things that were hidden, and I will reveal it to the people, to the multitude, to the high and the low, to the small and the great, to the one down, to the one up. I reveal many things by parables. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law, my doctrine, my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. That was spoken of him. That was predicted of him. That when he comes, when Messiah comes, and when Christ comes, when our Savior comes, he will reveal his might, his message, his truth, his revelation by parables. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. The things that were written in the Old Testament that were kind of in the dark, and people didn't understand, it will open it to them and to us. In verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he has done. And the New Testament tells us that Christ came to fulfill those verses we have read now in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 3. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus came to fulfill what had been predicted, that the teacher coming, the master coming, the rabbi coming, the Messiah coming, he will open his mouth in parables. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, and he answered them, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, Esau went forth to sow. Look at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. That's what was predicted. He will come, he will teach many things, and many things that were hidden to people, he will open his mouth and he will teach the people in parables. It says in verse 24 that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, while ministers slept, while preachers slept, while pastors slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. I pray we will not sleep. We will not slumber, especially those of us who are leaders in the church, pastors in the church, preachers in the church, that were supposed to teach the word of God without fear and without favor. Teach the word of God without hiding anything, so that the people who want to sow tares, they will not have chance in our church. You want them to have chance? They will not have chance in our church. Verse 33, another parable, speak ye unto them. No man ever taught like this. Moses never taught like this. David never taught like this. Another parable, another parable, another parable, another parable speak ye unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole be leavened. All these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables. All these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable speak he not unto them. Why? Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. It came to fulfill prophecy. It had been predicted, it had been prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he will open his mouth in parables, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's why he taught in parables. That's why he said what he said. We're coming to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Reading from verse 33. This was his style predicted. And what he taught them in parables was the doctrine that the Father had given unto him. Mark chapter 4. Reading from verse 33. In verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them. It's the word that he speak, is the doctrine that he taught, is the revelation from the Father that he gave to them, but he did it in parables. It says, with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. Verse 34. But without a parable, speak he not unto them. Without a parable, he always had an illustration, a parable, a picture. And he always had something to say. He went from the known to the unknown. Of course, they knew about the farmers, how the farmers sow. And he took a lesson from that. And he revealed heavenly things to them. They knew how the fisherman will throw the net into the sea. And he took a message from that and revealed heaven unto them. He even said there were children playing, and then they spoke to one another, we have drummed and you have not danced. He took a message from there and he revealed the doctrine from heaven. He said the king was making marriage for his son and invited people. He took a message from that, made it a parable, and then he spoke unto them. Many things he had to teach. And for them to understand, he went from what they knew to what they didn't know. In verse 34, but without a parable, speak he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded, he interpreted, he applied all things to his disciples. Welcome to Mark chapter 7. And I'm reading from verse 17. Mark chapter 7. Reading from verse 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Whatever the disciples didn't understand, the interpretation, the meaning, the exposition, the application of that parable, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he says unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever sin from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught. purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within was it a preaching a parable, he had told them, and he asked, was it a preaching to them now? Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications coming from the heart, murders coming from the heart, sex, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You will not be defiled. Luke chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 39. Luke chapter 6, we're reading from verse 39. The use of parables by the Savior. In verse 39 of Luke chapter 6, and he spake a parable unto them. You see that? Many parables that he spoke to them were different meanings and different doctrines. Every area of doctrine that he covered, he spake another parable to them now. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? He was taking what they already knew. They've seen blind men going on the street. But the blind will not lead the blind. Somebody who can see will lead the one who was blind. But then now he says, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect, that is matured, that is cleansed, that is perfected, shall be as his master. And why beholdeth, this is another parable, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam, the fault, and the big evil that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I pray God will give us understanding. Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them. The parable is about, take heed that you are not filled in your heart with covetousness. The parable is to the point that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. He's a man of his own mind, of his own purpose, of his own plan, of his own project. That's all he thought about. This I will do. I will put down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Everything is mine, mine, mine. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to that man, thoughtless man. God said to him, a visionless man. God said to him, blind man, blind to the future, blind to his own destiny. God said unto him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. I'm coming to point number two now. The uniqueness and power of the seed. The uniqueness and power of the seed. We're coming to Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 3. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Look at verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. To sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The uniqueness of that seed and the power of that seed. We're reading from Proverbs chapter 30, reading from verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, reading from verse 5. Every word of God is pure. The seed is the word. The seed is pure. The seed is sound. The seed is healthy. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not unto his word. Don't modify the seed. Don't mutilate the seed. Don't try to have some other things added to the seed. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. We're looking at Psalm 12, and I read from verse 6. Psalm 12, reading from verse 6. The seed is unique, and the seed is pure, as well as powerful. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It's pure enough, perfect enough, correct. You don't have to modify. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, that thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The seed has its uniqueness. The word has its power. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Please remember, Jesus said, the Father gave him the word to preach, the word to teach, and the word to reveal to the people. And so he couldn't change it. He wouldn't change it forever. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That word that is settled, that's the word we're going to preach. Verse 140, Psalm 139, verse 140. Thy word is pure, therefore Thy servant loveth it. Thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now we come to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You receive the word of God because you read it from the word, you heard it from the word, you can see it yourself, and then you can see the application to your life. And you received it as the word of God, not as the words of men. That's why it works effectually in your heart. What does the word do? How unique is the word? What does this word do that no other thing can do? Opinions of men cannot do this. The ideas of men cannot do this. The tradition of men cannot do this. What is unique about the word? What is powerful about the word? Look at what it does. The seed, when it planted in you, saves you. The seed, the word, saves. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can people be born again today? Yes, because it wasn't Peter that made them born again, it was the word. It was the seed. And if the seed made them to be born again at that time, people can be born again today. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. And that word liveth, and that word abideth forever. That word heals. It's the word. Can people be healed today? Of course, yes. It's the word that healed in those days gone by. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Psalm 107. I'm reading from verse 20. Psalm 107, reading from verse 20. You accept the word, you believe the word. This is the word of God. And it works and it heals your body. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. You're healed in Jesus' name. The word saves, the word heals, the word strengthens. The word strengthens. Your weakness will vanish away. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I read from verse 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Ye are strong. As we keep coming to the Bible study, strength upon strength in Jesus' name. Strong, stronger in Jesus' name. Because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. The word of God is not taken away by the fowls of the air. It abideth in you. The word of God is not scorched by the heat of the sun. The word of God abideth in you. The word is not choked by thorns. The word abideth in you. The word is not taken away by the cares of this world. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The word searches us, and the word probes us, And the word examines us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word searches and probes. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word searches us out, the intentions of our heart, the designs of our heart, and the plans of our life, and the thoughts we have. The word searches us out to see whether it is wrong or whether it is right. The word sanctifies. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. That ye might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctified by the word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It says, by the washing, by the cleansing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All the wrinkles in your life, the word will cleanse away. All the impurity in your life, the Lord will cleanse away. And the inbred sin that is lodging there, that will not allow you to fully, perfectly obey the word of God, the word will cleanse it out and purge it out in Jesus' name. Actually, the word cleanses. Psalm 119. The word cleanses us. It will cleanse you today. I said it will cleanse you today. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm reading from verse 3 and also reading from verse 9. In Psalm 119, verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. As long as the word abides in you, you will not do iniquity. Sin will take will take the word from you, but the word will take sin out of you. Are you here? Your amen. Verse 9, wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Let every opinion of man go out of your heart. Let every suggestion of man go out of your heart. Let all those ideas you have read in novels go away from your heart. And let the word of God replace every opinion, every tradition, and every idea. You live a righteous life. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word cleanses. The word empowers us. In Acts chapter 10, I read from verse 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. That heard the word. They were hearing the word. The message had not even finished. They received the word as the word of God, not the words of men. They received that word, and because of their receptivity of that word, the Holy Ghost came on them. They were empowered, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they had them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? The word quickens us when we are dull, almost dead, lingering, tired, weary, lukewarm. The word comes and quickens us, makes us alive, brings new energy and new strength unto us. That's what the word of God will do to you today. John chapter 6, reading from verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word comforts us. You're going through some challenging times, go back to the word. You're going through some confusion, go to the word. The word comforts us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. The word builds us up. Builds us up. Makes us to grow. You will grow. Grow taller. Grow higher. Grow stronger. And it's the word that will do that. I appreciate your coming to the Bible study every time. As you are coming, you'll be growing. As you are coming, the word will be building you up. The word of God builds up. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word feeds us. If you're a real child of God, you're thirsty, you're hungry, and it's the word that will feed us with this manna from heaven. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. The Lord will continue to feed us. The word revives us. Revives us. Brings revival. Revival to our soul. Revival in our heart. In Jeremiah chapter 20, reading from verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah was discouraged. Jeremiah was disheartened. And he said, there's no point. It's in vain. All this preaching, talking, and teaching the word of God and prophesying, it's not yielding any fruit. And so I will not speak anymore in his name. But look at the middle of that verse. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not keep quiet. Revival will come to your soul. The word fructifies. Fructifies. That word means the word makes you bear fruit. You will bear fruit. The word fructifies. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm reading from verse 10. It fructifies, makes you bear fruit. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. This word will bear fruit in your heart, bear fruit in your life, bear fruit in your family. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The word conquers. Every enemy in your life, the word conquers. Every challenge in your life, the Lord, the word will conquer. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember that word faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the faith that conquers, the faith that overcomes, is the word that brings and builds and makes that faith to work in a dynamic way in your life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have overcome already. And then the word abides forever. The word abides forever. The word abides forever. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, reading from verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The words of Christ will not pass away. In your life, it will work. In your heart, it will work. In your ministry, it will work. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. I read from verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord, tell me, the word of the Lord, say it aloud. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You have seen from all that we have said how the word saves, how the word heals, how the word strengthens, how the word probes and searches, how the word sanctifies, how the word cleanses, how the word empowers, how the word quickens, how the word comforts, how the word builds up, how the word feeds, how the word revives, how the word fructifies, how the word conquers, how the word abides forever. You have seen the uniqueness of that seed and the power of that seed. Let's come back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll come to point number 3 now. The unveiling, the uncovering, and the understanding and perception of the soil. There's nothing wrong with the seed. If anybody hears and is not saved, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's something wrong with the soil. If somebody hears and is not cleansed, nothing wrong with the seed, it's the soil. If somebody hears the word and is not delivered, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed abides forever. It is the kind of soil. That's what the Lord now spoke about, the different kinds of soil. Look at Mark chapter 4, and I read here from verse 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 4. It says, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. You understand that? As you go to the farm, there are pathways going to the farm. And inside the farm, there are pathways. And the farmer walks on that pathway all the time. And because he's walking on that pathway all the time, that pathway is hardened because of the feet of the farmer and the feet of the sower and the feet of the strangers and the feet of other people pounding on that and walking on that every time. When many opinions are walking on your heart, pounding your heart, treading your heart, when many ideas are pounding and treading your heart, that heart becomes like the sideway, like the wayside ground. It is hardened. Any seed that falls on it is staying on the surface. It will not sink into the soil because of many opinions treading there, many traditions treading there, many ideas treading there, and therefore that earth is solidified, and therefore you are not able to bring forth fruit. You'll bring forth fruit. And then it says the fowl of the air will just come and pick everything up. If you hear the word of God and you don't take care of the fowls of the air, after we finish the Bible study, it's talk, talk, talk. After you finish Sunday message, it's talk, talk, talk. After you finish revival, it's talk, talk, talk. And the fowls of the air and the opinions of men will come and take away what is planted in the heart. Nothing will bear fruit. But in your heart, in your life, something will bear fruit. The word of God will bear fruit. Look at Genesis chapter 15. I read from verse 11. Genesis chapter 15, verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Abraham drove them away. Then spirits will come, Satan will come. He wants to take the word of God away from your heart. You'll do like Abraham, you'll drive them away. Look at Mark chapter 4. I'm reading from verses 5 and 6. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of heart. And then it says in verse 6, when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And the Lord is telling us about another kind of ground, another kind of soil, another kind of heart. This is the kind of soil that has rocks, stones, and pebbles there. And the farmer didn't bother to take the stones away. He just scattered the seeds here and there. Nothing wrong with the seed, but the soil on which that seed fell was hard. It was rocky. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 6. Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, stony ground, rocky ground, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It lacked moisture. There are people that hear the word of God, they will not put moisture on that word by prayer, by meditation, and it just falls on the surface of their heart, and it is superficial hearing. It is emotional hearing. I love that. I appreciate that. I'm excited by that. I love the presentation. I love the Bible study, but it doesn't go deep into the heart. It's only emotional hearing. And the Lord said, because it had no depth, everything then was choked up. the word of God will not be choked up in your life, will not fall on rocky ground in your life, in Jesus' name. Good, amen. Jude, I'm reading from chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Jude chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. These are spots in your face of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruits withereth. They don't have depth in their understanding. They don't have depth in their meditation of the word. They come to the midst of the people of God, and there's spots in our feast, and they are clouds without water. And it says they are trees whose fruits withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Reaching waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved. Tell me, the blackness of darkness forever. If somebody is hearing the word of God, he has the word of salvation, it doesn't go deep into his heart. There's no conviction, there's no confession, there's no conversion. And there's no conduct that shows that this is a person that the word has turned his life around. He hears, he hears, he hears, and the sun chokes the word, dries the word, and scourges the word. It has no fruit. If he dies in that condition, he might be coming to the study every time because it's not producing salvation, transformation, change of life. He dies without having the hope of heaven. That will not happen to you. Okay, it will not happen to me. Come back to Mark chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 7. Mark chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 7. In verse 7, it tells us another kind of soil. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. The thorns came up, the thorns were in the heart. Anything entering in there, the thorns will choke everything. And so the seed, remember, the seed is good, the seed is pure, the doctrine is sound, but because of the kind of soil that seed fell into, that's why it says the thorns choked it and it yielded no fruit. You will yield fruit. Come to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're reading from verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the edge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof. And it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that the rain, no rain upon it. When the vineyard is not yielding fruit, when the hearers are not bringing for fruit, God says that's what he's going to do to the heart and to the soil that has thorns. That will not be your heart. I said that will not be our heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading from verses 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. The soil, the heart that brings up thorns and thistles and briars, that heart is rejected and is nice unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. That will not happen to me. I say that will not happen to me. It will not happen to any of us in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 30. Hearing the word of God, we have something to do about that, so that the fowls will not come and catch away and take away, snatch away the word that is sown. When you hear the word of God, we need to make sure that the heart is not a hardened soil, so that the word will bring forth fruit. We need to make sure that the thorns and the thistles and the briars are not on the heart, so that our hearts will bear fruit. You'll bear fruit. I will bear fruit. And look at Proverbs chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 30. I wait by the field of a slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The field of a lazy person, lazy to pray, lazy to meditate, and lazy to water the word, and lazy to bring forth fruit. I wait by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. You receive instruction. And the instruction you receive, you will apply. And the word you apply will bring forth fruit to your life in Jesus' name. What instruction did he receive? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You received instruction, your ground will not be like that. We'll come back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're reading from verse 8. Mark chapter 4. We're reading from verse 8. Mark chapter 4, verse 8. And all that fell on good ground. Amen. Your heart will be good ground. The soil of your heart will be good ground. And all that fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some. Tell me, some 30, and some, tell me again, 60, and some, tell me finally, 100, 30, 60, 100. It's the same seed, but it's the kind of soil that made the difference. It's the same seed, the same word, and that word came into one heart. He was saved, he was converted, he was transformed, he was changed. That same word came to another heart, he was sanctified, he was purified. That same word came to another heart, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he bore fruit. How is it that the land or the soil was like that? Because that soil was not wayside soil. Anything that will come and tread on the word and harden the heart, the person is saying, I'll not give that chance. You're not going to give chance to any fowls that will take the word away from your heart in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 4. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily, privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Nobody will bring you to bondage again. to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue, might abide, might remain, might bear fruit with you. The wayside soil, the wayside ground, dig it up. And as you dig it up, make it fertile. Not only that, the stony ground is broken up. Stony ground broken up. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. I'm reading from verse 10. In Isaiah chapter 62, reading from verse 10, this is what you do to your heart. Any pebbles there, any stones there, any rocks there, gather them together. The stones, carry them away. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 10, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, gather out the stones, so that the seed of the word will not be coming upon stones, and the seed will not be choked or scorched in your life, in your heart, in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. I read from verse 14 and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Do that for yourself. Any stumbling block that will not allow the seed to bear fruit in your life, any habit, any action, any friend, any neighbor, any idea that will not allow the seed to take root in your life, take up those things. You'll bear fruit in Jesus' name. How about the thorns? What do you do to the thorns? Look at Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. Thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The thorns, the cares of this life. The thongs, the ideas that will choke the word. While the word is sown in your heart, do not sow among thorns. Break up your fallow ground. You'll bear fruit. I will bear fruit. Much fruit. Multiplied fruit. Abundant fruit in Jesus' name. Hosea chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. It will happen. And now your ground, your soil will be good ground. It will bear fruit. My heart will be good ground. I will bear fruit. Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 5. Ezekiel 17 verse 5. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. Look at verse 8. It was planted in a good soil. The word tonight is planted in a good soil. The word you hear is planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. You are bearing fruit. I said you are bearing fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, a hundredfold. Your roots will go down into the soil, and your branches will grow up into the heavens. Isaiah chapter 37 verse 31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downwards. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward. And the people who are here tonight, and the people who are hearing the word tonight, everyone without exception, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, you will take root downward and bear fruit upward. And bear fruit upward. You will bear fruit. Everyone will bear fruit. And the result of hearing the word will be seen, will be noticed, will be recognized in every life in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 4, reading here from verse 3, Hakin, behold, there went a sower to sow. And that has happened tonight. The word has been spoken, and the word has been taught, and the word has been planted in your heart, sown in your heart. And it says that seed is good, and that seed is pure, and that seed is sound. Then it says now, and other fell in verse 8 on good ground. That's my heart. I say that's my heart. That's your heart in Jesus' name. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. You will increase. The power will increase in your life. Anointing will increase in your life. And the fruit will increase in your life. It increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. If you have not borne any fruit before from tonight, 30-fold in Jesus' name. If you have been bearing 30-fold from tonight, 60-fold in Jesus' name. If you have been bearing 60-fold from tonight, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Rise up and tell the Lord. Remember, when you hear the word, the soil is very important. The heart is very important. Look at the heart. Is it wayside? Is it wayside? You're going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I dig it up. I'm going to dig it up, and all the hardness of that soil, all the hardness of that sideway, I'm going to dig it up and make it soft. Let your heart be soft, and let your heart receive the word of God. If it's a kind of a rocky ground, and the stones are there, pick up the stones. Pick up the stones and say, no, that opinion will not get to me again. That idea will not get to me again. That tradition will not get to me again. And make sure that all the stones are gathered up, and then you throw them away so that the seed will have a place to grow in your heart and in your life. If the thorns are there, you cut up those thorns. You root out those thorns and say, Lord, my heart will bear fruit. My life will bear fruit. I've heard the word of God. The word of God is sound. The seed is sound. I don't want anything to hinder my bearing fruit. Tell the Lord, let your heart be good soil, good soil, good soil. Any fowl coming, drive that fowl away. Any kind of bird coming, drive that bird away. Any Satan, any satanic idea, suggestion coming there, drive that away. That your heart will bear fruit. There'll be salvation. There'll be sanctification. There'll be Holy Ghost baptism. There'll be healing. There'll be deliverance. And there'll be fruitfulness in your life. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold.
Brethren, you have heard the word of God tonight, and we need to take it to the Lord in prayer tonight. The Lord has spoken to us again tonight. He has opened our eyes. He has opened our heart to see the word. Christ, the teacher, come from God. He taught them by parables. Every opportunity he had, he taught the people. Every opportunity he had, he taught the people. He taught them the word. And he taught them in parables. My brother, my sister, the word of God has been taught unto you and me tonight. Let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Christ taught the people. He was purposeful in his teaching, and his word was permanent. That word can never change. That word is for you and for me today. Brethren, let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. What a great opportunity we have to be taught the word of God. Let's glorify the name of the Lord. And let's not let that opportunity slip out of our hands. Jesus Christ, he brought revelation from heaven. He brought great revelation from heaven. He did not teach them opinions of men. He did not teach them philosophies of men. He did not teach them the traditions of men. He taught them the doctrine of Christ. What are we teaching the people today? Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. It's only the doctrine, the truth of the word of God that can save, sanctify, heal, and deliver. Let's open our mouths and talk to the Lord. He taught them the word, the doctrine of the word, the doctrine, the truth of the word of God. He revealed unto them. He gave them many parables and brought great, great revelations unto them. And they saw it clearly. It was very clear in their minds. And when they had doubts, they came to him and they asked, and he clarified everything unto them. Brothers and sisters, that's a lesson to us. Let's open our mouths and talk to the Lord. We are privileged people. We come to Monday Bible study every Monday. We hear the word of God, the sound teaching of the word of God. Let's pray. He taught them the way into the kingdom of God. He taught them about salvation. He taught them about sanctification. He taught them all these things so that they can enter into the kingdom of God. Let's pray that in our own time, we are not going to fail the Lord. We are not going to fail the Lord. He told them to strive to enter into the kingdom while he was teaching them. As you have heard the word of God tonight, you must strive to enter. As you have heard the word of God tonight, you must strive to enter. You must enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus brought that truth from heaven, the saving truth, the sanctifying truth. Are you sanctified? Are you made holy? Jesus brought the truth. He brought the truth unto us. And you need to pray tonight. You need to pray tonight. Are you born again? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a great opportunity for you tonight. As you hear the word, you strive to enter. You strive to enter. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. You must not go back the same way you come. You must not go back the sinner you came. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Are you sanctified? He brought the sanctifying truth unto us. Today, tonight, you can be sanctified. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. He taught them the doctrines of heaven. The doctrines of heaven. My brother, my sister, and that is what can save. That is what can save you today. And that's what we hear in this church. That's the emphasis of this church. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The doctrine that taught the life of the people is not the cock and bull stories. It's not the philosophy of men. It's not the traditions of men that can touch the life of the people. We need to give them the doctrine of the word of God. The doctrine that does not change. The word of God that is permanent, forever settled in heaven. Let's open our mouths and talk to the Lord. If we are going to win souls outside, we must base them on the word of God, the doctrine of the word of God. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. That's why he commanded us to go into the world and teach them all things that he has ever taught. Remind them, teach them. Let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. That's what we owe the Lord. We need to tell the people. We need to tell the people. We need to teach them the doctrine of the word of God. You have heard the word of God tonight. You have heard the word of God tonight. And you are meditating on the word of God. What is word of God? We do in your life. We do in your heart. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The doctrine is from the Father. The doctrine is from the Father. And that's why you must give heed to it. You must give heed to it. He taught the people repentance. He taught them righteousness. He taught them about the kingdom of God. Brethren, are you there? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Our Savior Jesus Christ, he made use of parables. Parables to bring down the message unto the people. He taught them in every place, in every situation. What he taught them was a message from heaven. And by the grace of God, that is what we are going to teach the people. Amen. I say amen. He revealed hidden things to the people by parables. We are going to open our mouth and tell the Lord that the hidden truth of the word of God we will be able to unveil unto people that hear us. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me. Jesus, he used parables. It was predicted, however, that he was going to use parables to teach. And he came, he fulfilled just that. He used it in such a way that he brought the message so clear to the people. The interpretation was clear. The illustration was clear. It was vividly clear in their mind's eyes. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. He came, he taught them by parables, he gave them the word, he revealed the word, and most of the time when they do not understand, they came to him and he gave them understanding. Pray that the Lord will give you understanding in the word of God. Pray as you study the word of God, as you meditate on the word of God, that the Lord will give you understanding in the word of God. He used a parable. He used a picture in their hearts. From the known to the unknown, he was showing them. Let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Various parables he used to illustrate to them what they ought to do. My brother, my sister, let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. As we study the word, as we read the word of God, we meditate on the word of God, that the Lord will give us understanding in his word. The Lord will give you understanding in his word. You will study the word of God. You will understand the word of God. And you will be able to apply the word of God into your life and into your situation. If you hear the word of God and you do not take it to the Lord in prayer, if you do not appropriate it into your life, that word of God is of no effect in your life. And that's why we need to pray tonight. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Whatever the disciples did not understand, they came to him. Are you asking questions on things that are not clear to you? Let's pray. The Spirit of God is there. Our leaders are there. And they will help you to understand. Let's pray that the Lord will give us understanding in his word. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. You need to take heed. You know, many a times we study the word of God. Many a times we hear the word of God. But we do not take heed not to saturate our hearts with the affairs of this world, with the cares of this world. And the world is choked up in our hearts. The world is choked up in our hearts. But from tonight, a change will come in your life. A change will come in my life. As we make our decisions today, commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We saw the uniqueness of the power and the power of the seed. The seed is the word of God. Praise the Lord. The seed is pure. The seed is sound. The seed is healthy. We do not need to modify. We do not need to mutilate. And we do not need to add to the word of God. The word of God is pure. The word of God is perfect. And we do not need anything to add to the word of God. My brother, if you take in the word of God, what does the word of God do in your heart? That's why you are here today. The word of God saves you. Are you saved? The word of God saves you. It is the truth of the word of God. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. If you are not saved tonight, the Lord can save you. If you are not saved tonight, the Lord can save you. It is the word of God that saves. It is the word of God. It is not cock and bull story. It is not the tradition of men. It is not the philosophy of man. The word of God. The word of God heals tonight. The power in the word of God will touch your life. The power in the word of God will heal you. We bring healing unto your body. We bring healing unto your soul. We bring healing unto your mind. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. That's the uniqueness of the word of God. He heals. You will be healed tonight. Body, soul, and spirit will be healed tonight. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Are you weak? The word of God strengthens. The word of God strengthens. Every weakness will vanish away tonight. Every weakness in your mind, in your soul, every weakness will vanish away. Talk to the Lord. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. It is the word of God that searches and examines and probes our heart. Oh, why not allow the word of God to search your heart, to examine you? Mirror yourself in the word of God and see where you are. See whether you are right or wrong. Whether you are living right or whether you are living wrong. It is the word of God. It is the word of God. It is the word of God. Open your heart unto the word of God. You must open your heart unto the word of God tonight. The word of God will probe your heart, the intentions of your heart. You will see whether you are wrong or whether you are right. Why not release yourself unto the word of God? Examine your heart vis-a-vis the word of God that you have heard. The word of God will tell you whether you are living right or not. The word of God sanctifies. Are you born again? And you are not sanctified. Tonight you can be sanctified. Tonight, you can be sanctified. All impurity in your life, the Lord will clear away that Adamic nature, that propensity to evil. The Lord will root it out of your heart tonight. The Lord will root it out of your heart tonight. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. That thing that has not allowed you to obey the word of God, the Lord will root it out of your life tonight. There's going to be a rooting out of your life tonight. The word of God cleanses. My brother, my sister, you need cleansing in the word of God. We need cleansing in the word of God. As you appear before the word of God, oh, as long as you abide with the word of God, oh, you will not do iniquity. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Pray that the word of God will wash you clean tonight. The word of God will wash you pure tonight. The word of God will wash every impurity out of your life tonight. Oh, the word of God can empower you. My brother, my sister, the power to do the work of God. The power to do exploits for the Lord. The power to preach the word of God. The power to evangelize the unbelievers. That power from on high can come upon your life tonight. Through the word of God. Through the word of God. As Peter was preaching, the people had the word of God. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. What are you doing tonight? Do you have that Holy Ghost? Has it come upon you since you believed? Why not open your mouth and talk to the Lord? Tonight, you can be baptized. The power can come. The power, the courage, the boldness to go and preach the word of God. The word of God will quicken you tonight. The word of God will quicken you tonight. When you are lukewarm, slothful, when you are apathetic in the things of God, you are lukewarm, the word of God can come upon you tonight. There's going to be a quickening in your spirit, in your soul, through the word of God, through the power of the word of God. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord so that the word of God will have definite impact in your life. In your life. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The word of God will bring new energy and strength to you tonight. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Oh, the word of God comforts. I don't know the sorrow brewing up in your heart. I don't know how moody you are before you came in here. But there is comfort in the word of God. There is comfort in the word of God. Why not open your mouth and derive comfort from the word of God? Derive comfort from the word of God. You have been saying in your mind, of what use is in serving the Lord? You are so sorrowful in your heart. You are so downcast in your mind. The Lord is telling you, comfort will come from the word of God. Comfort. Comfort of the spirit. Comfort of the soul. Comfort of the mind. Why not commit yourself into the hands of the Lord so that the word of God will comfort you tonight? The word of God builds us up. It is the word of God that develops us, that makes us to grow and bring forth fruit. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. You want to grow? Grow in grace, grow in wisdom, grow in the knowledge of God. It is through the word of God. You dig deep into the word of God. You commit yourself to doing the will of God. The will of God is the mind of God. The command of God is the word of God, is the will of God. Commit yourself into the hands of the word, Lord, so that you'll be built up. The word of God feeds us. Thank God he has given us a pastor after his own heart who feeds us with the knowledge of the word. It is the word of God that quenches our thirst and hunger. Why not commit yourself to reading the word of God, studying the word of God, meditating on the word of God, obeying and living out the word of God in your life? Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The word of God will revive you tonight. There's going to be revival. Revival in your soul. Revival unto holiness. Revival in your evangelism life. Revival in your prayer life. All round revival. Revival will come upon you tonight. Why not talk to the Lord? Revival comes from the word. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. He will revive you tonight. He will revive you tonight. He will set you on fire for him again. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. The Lord will revive you. The Lord will revive you. The word of God will make you to bear fruit. Have you been bearing fruit? This is the sixth month of the year. How many souls have you brought into the kingdom of God? Have you been bearing fruit in your evangelism? Have you been bearing fruit in your spiritual life? Are you making progress in your spiritual life? Or are you spiritually stunted? No spiritual growth? You need to commit yourself to the word of God. You need to surrender and submit yourself to the word of God. The word of God will make you to bear fruit. Fruit in your life. Fruit in your ministry. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. And the Lord will help you. The word of God conquers every challenge in your life. Tonight, the Lord will rule them away. Every challenge in your life. Every challenge in your life. You depend on the word of God. You throw the word of God on that challenge. That challenge will never be there again. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. That is the uniqueness and the power of this word. Commit yourself unto the Lord. The word that came from heaven. The all-powerful word that came from heaven. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. The word of God abides forever. You will abide in the word of God. You will abide in the word of God. You will abide in the word of God. You will pattern your life according to the word of God. Why not commit yourself into the hands of the Lord? That henceforth, you will pattern your life according to the word of God. The word of God will take precedence in your life. The word of God is number one thing in your life. You go as long as the word of God goes. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You saw the unveiling and the perception of the soil. We heard tonight, there is nothing wrong with the seed. The same word that others had and they got saved, the same word you had and it didn't do anything in your life. The problem is with your heart, the state of your heart. We need to present our heart before the Lord. Tonight, we are going to cry unto the Lord, plow our hearts. Oh Lord, plow our heart. Every stony heart, the Lord will melt it. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. The Lord will plow your heart and make it receptive to the word of God. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. It is the state of your heart that will determine how fruitful you are in the word of God and how beneficial the word of God will be unto you. Commit yourself unto the hands of the Lord. Why not pray? Open your heart unto the Lord. Open your heart unto the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. We are told about this word of God, the seed that fell on the wayside. And because they do not take care of the best of the air, the best of the air came and swallowed up the seed. Are you like that? You have been hearing. You come every Monday. You have not missed any Bible study this year. You have not missed any Sunday worship service this year. You have not missed any of the services this year. And yet, this word has not penetrated your life. Tonight, the Lord will touch your heart. Open your heart unto the Lord. Submit your heart unto the Lord. You need a touch. You need a change of heart. You need a change of heart. You need to ask the Lord to work on your heart so that your heart will be receptive to the word of God. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. And you know yourself. You can drive away those things that are coming to choke up the word of God. You can drive out those things that come to devour the word of God. You can drive them away. Abraham did that. You can do that. You know yourself. You know those things that are really, really not allowing the word of God to bear root in your heart. Why not ask the Lord, root them out of my heart today. Root them out of my heart today. The Lord will dig up your heart and make it fertile. Tell the Lord, dig up my heart, make it fertile. We are told about the stony ground. My brother, if your heart is just filled with pebbles, with stones all over the place, how can the root penetrate? The root of the word, the seed cannot penetrate. That's why you need to tell the Lord, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. All the hardness of heart, the Lord will take away. All the stony heart, the Lord will take away. The Lord will give you the heart of flesh. The heart that will be obedient to the word of God. The heart that will cherish, reverence, honor, and obey the word of God. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself. You heard about the thorny soil. The thorns are in your heart. The things you harbor in your heart. The things that you harbor in your heart. Those are the things that are not allowing the word of God to have a free course in your heart. That's why you need to open up. You need to open up and ask the Lord to blot them out of your heart. To blot them out of your heart. To blot them out of your heart. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. And you know many people like this, when they hear the word of God, they are so lazy to pray, and they cannot pray the word of God into their lives. And that's why they are not making progress. And the word of God is not bearing fruit in their lives. The fault is not with the word. The fault is with the heart of man. And that's why you must make your heart ready, receptive to the word of God. Fertile. Tell the Lord to dig up your heart. Make it fertile. All the thorns, heart, the thorns in the heart, the Lord will remove them. The Lord will sweep them out of your heart tonight so that you can have a heart that glorifies God, a heart that will take in the word of God. Break up your fallow grounds. You need to break up your fallow grounds. We need to talk to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord, break up my fallow ground. It's because of hardness of heart that the word of God has not come in. Break it up. 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 Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Tell the Lord to